to turn off. But.
Okay. Okay. Perek of Dalet here in the Netzach Yisrael. In much of it, he's going to be really continuing to sort of amplify the idea of Golus being an unnatural state. You remember, this is an idea which we've had in the Maral since the beginning of the Netzach Yisrael, since Perek Aleph of the Netzach Yisrael, where he taught us this idea that Golus must come to an end, because Golus is just an unnatural orientation, unnatural situation for the Jewish people. And everything in the world has to ultimately come back to its Seder, come back to its proper place. What you want to avoid at all costs is adopting a new Seder that's an e-Seder, adopting a new order that's not the correct order, that becomes the quote-unquote the new adopted natural order that would get rid of the need for the Geula. But fundamentally, there's a Seder Ha'olam, there's an order of the world, there's a natural order of things for nations and for peoples and for individuals, and they will ultimately need to be restored to that order. And so in this context, he's going to be speaking in a number of ways, choosing a number of ways to amplify this, and we're going to choose amongst the ways that he speaks about it just to bring out some additional ideas, some additional concepts within the framework of this general perspective of Netzach Yisrael of Golus. One thing which he teaches us here is just a little kind of a tidbit that is worth storing in mind and remembering, a very typical Maharalian tidbit, is where he speaks about the idea that Golus, which one of the fundamental components of Golus, is Yitziyah min Amokim, is leaving the original place, the proper place of the people. So that, again, is part of this unnatural state. And he explains that the term Mokom comes with the same root as Kiyum, as Kum, something which is maintained, something which is sustained. Everything has its place. Ein l'chodavar she'en l'mokayim. Everything has its place. That place is the Mekayim, is the place where this thing would be conserved and preserved. That's what is Mekayim it. Hayitziyah min ha'mokayim shu kiyumei hu ibud el asher hu mokayim elav. Leaving one's mokom is leaving really one's source of continued kiyum. And therefore, that again is part of this idea of how unnatural and how, you know, it just simply doesn't jive to be off into another place. There's a very interesting drasha that the Gemara makes on the Parsha in Sefer Dvarim and Vayeschanan, the Kriya which we actually read on Tisha B'Av Day itself. Kisoylid banim uvnei banim v'neishantem ba'oretz. It says in the Pasuk, you will have children, you will have grandchildren, v'neishantem ba'oretz, and you will become sort of antiquated in the land. You'll become old in the land. And the Pasuk describes a deterioration that goes along with this, where the Jewish people are there for a long time, and they lose the freshness. They lose the original commitment, the original kiyum. The parsha, which, and the term itself, is something which is worthy of description, discussion. In fact, it was one of the themes that we talked about last year on Tisha B'Av. However, the fundamental piece that the Gemara brings about this is a very interesting one. It says that the Gemara darshans in Gittin, it says, Vayishkeir Hashem al harav vayeviyeh aleinu, ki tzadik Hashem aleikeinu. So Gemara in Gittin, the end of Gittin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, so to speak, focused on the raw, on the bad, and he brought it upon us because tzadik Hashem aleikeinu, because Hashem is righteous. So the Gemara says this is very difficult to understand at first glance. It says that Hashem focused and rushed to bring the bad upon us because He is righteous. Because Tzadik Hashem Aleikeinu, because He is righteous, He therefore rushed to go and make sure to give us the bad. Like, what kind of a thing is that? So the Gemara brings two different explanations of this. One answer the Gemara gives is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was magla golus tzidkiyo v'adayin golus yechonya kayemes. The golus of the Jewish people from Eretz Yisrael at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash to Bavel took place in stages. The ultimate destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was under Tzidkiyahu, right? The king Tzidkiyahu. But previous to that, there was a galus of Yechaniah, right? We mentioned it in Megillas Esther, right? It's of course from Sefer Melachim, but it's mentioned in Megillas, right? Mordechai, Asher Haglami Yerushalayim, Im Hagilah Asher Haglasa, Im Yechaniah Melech Yehuda. Yechaniah, that's the first galus. And that galus was a galus which was a distinguished galus. Yechaniah was a more righteous king than Tzidkiyahu. And Yechaniah's galus was a galus where they sent out HaCharash VaHamazgir, the Talmidei Chachamim. They were the originals to establish Bavel as a place of learning, as a place of wisdom. They were the Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanav Lohares Lefanav Gaishna. That was the establishment of places of learning before. And says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent out Tzidkiyahu while that presence of Golos Yechaniah was still there and around, so that even though Tzidkiyahu's generation may not have been as learned, but they would have the benefit of that which was established and was still to a great degree present from the Golos Yechaniah. If these Golios would have been spread apart too much, then you would have had the learned Golos, which went out, was there, and flickered and disappeared. And then the next Golos would have come on their own. But Hashem staggered them closely enough that he allowed the second ones to benefit from the first. That's the first answer of the Gemara. That's why, even though it seems like it's not a benefit to rush out of Golos, but being that they got there while there was still the flame of the first Golos, that indeed ended up being helpful to them. That's the Gemara's first answer. Maharal's not going to focus more on that here. The second answer the Gemara says is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them out 2 years before Vinayshantem. What does that mean, 2 years before Vinayshantem? The numerical value of Vinayshantem is 852, right? It has two vavs, which is 12. It has two nuns, which is 100, right? That's 112. It has a tuf and a sheen, which are 700. That gives you 812. And then it has a mem at the end, which is 40. 852. 852 years. Figure it out. The Beit HaMikdash was built 480 years after the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. That's what it says explicitly in the Pasuk. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash 480 years after the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. How many years were they in Eretz Yisrael? 440 years, right? They were 40 years in the desert before they came into Eretz Yisrael. How long did the Beis HaMikdash stand? The first Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years. That's 850 years. Close, but no cigar. So what's the idea? It says Hashem told them, Hashem took them out 2 years early. If he would have waited for Vinayshantem, for them to have been there that long, then what does the pasuk continue on and say? Ha'idaisi v'chem hayoim ki avoy toivedun. I'm telling you, you're going to be lost. So if it would have been to 852 years, if we would have stayed the full limit, then we would have really been destroyed. But now Hashem took us out 2 years early, and he made it that we didn't have a chance to sort of fill up that measure of the 852 years. And that way, we were spared from the worst of the punishment that could have happened. That's what the Gemara says. Now, what do you think is pshat in the Gemara? Why taking us out 2 years earlier spares us from the ultimate difficulties described in the Parsha? What would you say? Not rhetorical. What I would have said was, that, you know, there's a notion of nismalei sa'asam. There's a notion of how much they sinned, you know? And you give them 850 years, so for a while they were doing well, but then, you know, things started to deteriorate, and they sinned, and they sinned, and they sinned, and they sinned. When it reaches, you know, to 852 years of it, whatever the significance of that is, but if they would have reached that, Hashem would have said, boy, these guys, they are so terrible, so we're going to knock them out of here. And we're knocking them out of here with a bang. Ovei tevedun. They'll be lost. However, what Hashem did was similar to what the Pasuk tells us to do, the way Chazal understand it about a ben sayru meira. You know, yamus zakai val yamus chai. You take this rebellious son and you kill him before he's had a chance to do the really terrible stuff. So Hashem sent us out into Golus before we had a chance to do the really terrible stuff. That way you could say he's sending us out for, you know, second degree instead of for first degree. I think that would be the simple pshat, the way you would read the Gemara. That's always the way I had understood the Gemara. The Maharal teaches a very different understanding of the Gemara in line with this general approach of his. And the Maharal says like this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving you 852 years in this land. And then, time's up. In a certain sense, you're God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he would have allowed us to have that 852 years in the land, paid up completely, so then, when he gets rid of us, we have no claim check left. We've completely expired, you know? It's like, you know, you get the gift certificate to the place, you know, and you go in for $100, you go in once and you buy $30 worth, and they knock it down and say 70, and then, you know, the next time you go back and knock another $50, knock it down to 20. You know, so at a certain point, you surrender the gift certificate. And when you get down to zero, okay, that's it. We're never going to see me in the store again. You know, that's the end of the story. I ran out of my credit. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "V'nayshantem bo'aretz," you have all this time, and now avay tevedun, so we would be lost. The chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that he left us a couple of years. So, in general, as the Maharal goes on, we're not going to discuss it so much. He says it was 850 years. It's close enough to be, to some degree, a kiyum of the Neshantim. But on the other hand, he left enough to show there's still reason and time for us to be back. That's the way the Maharal says it. And so he says that since there was still... Now, again, this is like a little bit of a twist, because we would have said, no, the reason why Eretz Yisrael is the place for the Jews is because Eretz Yisrael is the place for the Jews. It's not a matter of time, or time used, the meter running, the meter not running. Eretz Yisrael is the place for the Jews. So we're always going to feel back there. But here, the Pasuk puts it together with a certain amount of time. Says Maral, even on the amount of time, we want it to be that way. Because since we know that we still have a couple of years to get back, therefore, that means that wherever we are, we're still to a great degree connected. It's one of the great ideas which we have always about Eretz Yisrael. That wherever we are in the Golus, the more we feel, well, we're supposed to be there, it's as if we are there on some level, as we talked about before. There's a connection by virtue of that, of the yearning, of the desire to be there. And so, when you know specifically you have a couple of years left on the clock, that indeed makes it as if you're there. It's very interesting. Rabbi Hartman brings it, alludes to it in the footnote. But there's a famous Maharal that says the same thing in the opposite direction. Famous Maharal. The Maharal, I should say, whatever. It's another Maharal. The Maharal says like this. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a gzera of Yodei Ateh Tegir Yizharach Beretz Elohem V'avon Avinu Aysam Arba Meishashon. Jewish people will be in Golus for 400 years. How many years were the Jewish people in Golus for? They were Mitzrayim with Yaakov for 210 years. So what's pshat 400 years of Golus? So Rashi says, well, you see that even from the time that Yitzchak was born, so it says Vayogar, he was like a stranger, even though much of the time was spent living in Eretz Yisrael, but they were sort of wandering. It's a little bit of a difficult pshat. It's, you know, that's what it says. It does say it from the time. Maharal adds to it. And the Maharal says like this. That from the moment that Yitzchak, that Avraham Avinu was told about Golus Mitzrayim, he knew that they were headed outside of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, he knew he was going to be headed out of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, even as he was in Eretz Yisrael, he felt disconnected from Eretz Yisrael. He was already connected to what he knew his destination to be. So even though he ultimately didn't leave until 190 years later for keeps for the real Golus, but he already had his suitcase packed. We talk about having our suitcase packed for Mashiach, right? He had his suitcase packed for Mitzrayim. He knew to some degree, I don't know, this connection here, you know, part of him was already in Golus. Now, of course, part of him was very much in Eretz Yisrael. And even when he'd be in Mitzrayim, he'd be connected to Eretz Yisrael. But the Golus that loomed on their head as a Gzeira was already enough to make it. Was already enough to make it as if they were there. That's how he explains really also the 430 years, right, that we say that they were, when they left Mitzrayim, it says they were there for 430 years. That's from the moment Hashem told it to him. Because from the moment Hashem told it to him, he had it looming over his head, so it's as if he was already, to some degree, experiencing the Golus. So there is this idea that if you know that you have some time someplace, you're headed there, then it's to some degree pulling you there all the time. So that's another notion which the Maharal teaches over here in the idea of the Neshantim. that where something is not in its proper place, it will always somehow be pining back to there, and will ultimately find its way back there. Now, Maral goes on and teaches a very, very, very interesting chiddush. A very, very interesting chiddush. It's a chiddush with ramifications. Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, are scattered and dispersed throughout the world. Yeshno am echad mefuzar umeforal bein ha'amim, Haman said. There's a people that they are scattered and dispersed between the other nations. Kapteinu yachad me'arba kanfei soretz. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to gather us in from the four corners of the earth. Klal Yisrael, remember we learned about this in Perek Aleph. We're going to learn about it again in Mir Tashem in the next Perek, in Perek Chaf Hei. But one of those fundamental, and we're going to learn about it further today, but one of those fundamental conditions of Golus is this notion of dispersion, of pizur, of being scattered. Right? One of the notions is we're not in our proper land. The other one is that we're subject to other nations. And the third one is that we are scattered, that we are not together as one nation. So some, says the Maral, would view that as a weakness. But he says it's not a weakness. It's a strength. It's a strength that we didn't go as one people to be established again in another place. Okay, so let me again try to be not rhetorical. I have no cup of tea today, so instead of me having a cup of tea to rest my voice, you'll talk. So what would be the reason why not having one people together in a certain place would be a benefit for the Jewish people? What would you say?
You could say two things. Like if everyone's in one place and like enemies attacked or like a Holocaust, then everyone's there and that you have that risk.
Okay, so that's a good practical thing, that it's good to have what Yaakov Avinu said when he was facing Esav. Let's split up. That way, if Esav comes and destroys one camp, there will be another one. There will be another remnant someplace else. So maybe it's good not to have the Jews all concentrated in one place when we are in our more vulnerable situations. When we're on top of the pile, we're in Eretz Yisrael, good. But when we're not on top of the pile, it will be better for us to sort of be divided so we cannot be conquered. Yeah.
Don't we have a mission to bring back the sparks of the neshamas that were...
Okay. So there's another notion which Chazal tell us, that it's good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think we talked about it earlier in the Netzach Yisrael as well, the silver lining, what we would consider Golus negative, Chazal say, that the Bnei Yisrael were like the perfume bottle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them. It wasn't in Netzach Yisrael, I think he spoke about it in Pirkei Avos. That it's like the perfume bottle, right? If you walk around with a nice closed sealed bottle of perfume, nobody knows you have a bottle of perfume. But if you take the bottle of perfume and you open it and you walk around, then the fragrance spreads, air freshener, right? It's going to go all over the place. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Klal Yisrael into the world so that the beliefs of Klal Yisrael would spread, that they would be able to bring back Geirim, bring back converts to join the Jewish people from everywhere that they travel. This idea, which is expressed in more mystical terms, in sort of being melakeit the nitzaitzais, right? Gathering the sparks, you know, the little sparks of holiness which might exist everywhere, elsewhere, and out there. That's also a notion. Both notions, which would be, so to speak, an advantage in this sense. The Maral, what would you think he would say? Yeah.
Well, if everyone's now in, not only the notion that everyone's in one place, that's a pragmatic thing, like we mock it, you know, mock achas, but not only that, but also that we would tend to think of this place as our place, as opposed to being spread out, where there isn't a singular place that we say that's our place.
Okay, excellent. And I think that would fit very well as well, with what we're saying here in the Maral. We have a place. When we're in Golus, it's better if we don't have a place. Because the whole idea is we're supposed to be able to establish ourselves around our Seder. And when we're out of the Seder, it's going to have to be temporary because we're just not at home. You don't want to necessarily make yourself at home when you're not at home. You know, if you're too much at home on the road, right? So then your wife gets nervous. You know, like, come on, you know, don't get so comfortable over there. We want you to feel like, you know, you're here. If you're not here, then you're out of place. Having Klal Yisrael together in one place in the Golus maybe would be a substitution of a new place for the old. I certainly would have thought that that would be what the Maharal would have said. And it could be that he is saying that. Rabbi Hartman does not understand him saying that at all, right? It could be that the Maharal is a little bit ambiguous, that that's part of what he's saying. But he certainly goes on to say something else, which Rabbi Hartman understands is the whole goal of this thing of Maharal, and he's probably right. But one certainly would have imagined, to some degree, this piece. And it has relevance because there have been in modern history different options, considerations of having Klal Yisrael established in a different place as Klal Yisrael. You know that the British, when they were considering what to do with the Jewish issue, with the Jewish problem, so one of the proposals that they put forward was, one possibility was Palestine, but they knew that there would be problems there because it wasn't a good neighborhood, that the neighbors wouldn't be so pleased, that the other inhabitants of the land wouldn't be so pleased. And another thing was they said they would take some other British colony someplace in Africa, some Favorfana Ord, where there wouldn't be that kind of, ground zero tension that exists in Eretz Yisrael. And the famous proposal was Uganda. It wasn't Herzl's idea, right? It was one of the proposals of the British, and it was brought to them, and it was considered. It was considered, and it was roundly rejected early on, right? Because most, by far, of the Zionists, even the secular Zionists, felt that the idea of the Jewish home could only be in the historical and traditional Jewish home. But that's a famous proposal. There was a place in the Soviet Union which was established as the Jewish homeland. You can see still, I forget the name of it, but there was a place like that which was established. To establish alternatives and to make a home for the Jewish people, you can understand instinctively, especially given everything we've learned here in the Maharal, would be counter to this idea. Look, you're here, you understand this isn't a Jewish nation. But to establish a Jewish nation someplace else is a surefire way to separate the Jewish people from a connection to their homeland, to their place. But the Maharal says something much more profound and a little bit more difficult to get your arms around. Maharal says like this: Klal Yisrael has two places. We have a place in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is ours, is for us, because Eretz Yisrael is the holiest land, the holy land. And we're supposed to be the holy people. Hashem chose Eretz Yisrael from amongst the lands. He chose Yisrael from amongst the nations. And he wanted to bring his chosen people into his chosen land. Right? Eretz HaKodesh, La'am HaKodesh, whatever it is, all the other kinds of formulations of this. Eretz HaNivchar, La'am HaNivchar. So there's a lot of connection that you would choose that Eretz Yisrael should be the place for the Jewish people. But in a certain sense, the world is the place for the Jewish people. Why? Because Klal Yisrael is Bereishis. Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Bereishis. The whole world was created because of Yisrael, we're told. Chazal tell us. The world revolves. Ein puranas b'olam ela b'shvil Yisrael. The happenings of the world, as the world continues to go on, as events continue to unfold, they all revolve around the Bnei Yisrael, around the Jewish people. Mimela. So, obviously and consequentially, Klal Yisrael, to some degree, would be appropriately citizens of the world, because the whole world rests on our shoulders. The whole world exists to some degree because of us. There are 70 core Jews that go down to Mitzrayim, and they correspond to the 70 nations that make up the entirety of the world. Right? Behanchil el yoyim gayim, behafridoi b'nei adam, yatzev gvuloi samim lemispar b'nei Yisrael. He established the boundaries of nations according to the numbers of the Jewish people. So says the Maharal, there are two places that you would view as being the place for the Jewish people. If there would be a localized place, it would be Eretz Yisrael, which would be the Mokem HaKadosh. But remove from them their Kedusha, or take them, say, okay, you're not going to be in your place specifically, that was an improper way to say it, you're not going to be in the place of Kedusha, what's the secondary place for the Jewish people? It's no specific place, it's the whole world. Because limiting them to one spot, to some degree, is parochializing them, when in fact Klal Yisrael, in the largest sense, is universal. Says the Maharal, it's a complete chiddush. in a chiddushtik way to view this aspect of Pizur, again with a different kind of a silver lining, so creatively dramatic. He says, "Hem Pizurim b'chol ha'olam, v'leinasan lohem eretz miyuchedes, rakim mekayimem kol ha'olam, v'davar zeh roi l'Yisrael." This is suitable for the Jewish people. I'm reading Tav Kuf Yud Aleph in the new edition, the Hartman edition. Ki kvar yodua, and in the classic edition, it is on page Kuf Chaf Beis, right on the bottom of the first column. So he says, everything has a place according to its level and its nature. If absent the Jewish people, Hashem wouldn't have created the world. So on some level, the whole world is the place of the Jewish people and is suitable for them. So therefore, when Hashem took them out of Eretz Yisrael, He had them in all of the world. So even if, goes on the Maral and says, they concentrated in certain places, it's not really theirs. They're not in their place. So he says, why does he have to send them throughout the world? Here the Maral sort of addresses through question and answer what we would have thought is the answer. He said, one second, what do you need this for? Just say they can't be any place else, or even if they would be in any specific place, they would still be in Eretz Yisrael. So he says there's two aspects to this, because of their connection. That's really their place. Remember he said before they have a couple of years left, it's really their place, so therefore wherever they are, they're in Eretz Yisrael. No, he says no. It helps. Look, it's true that they could never establish themselves in any other place really, because they have this connection to Eretz Yisrael. But absent being in Eretz Yisrael, physically, is still a loss. Lamaisa, they're not in their place. So therefore Hashem puts them in their alternate place. And their alternate place is the whole world. That's the Maral's notion. It's a great chiddush, great chiddush in this idea of Pizur in the Golus. Okay.
It's almost like as if the 2 years then is really a buffer.
The 2 years, what do you mean as, a buffer?
Why 2 years? Why not 1 year? Why 2 years?
Yeah, so he says that you have to have two, because two is already going to be considered that it's not over yet. It's enough, it's close enough to the boundary, because it's not many years, but it's not, virtually over. You have a notion of he darshans on it with the significance. The two is going to be significant enough. Davke shtei shanim leYosef leipachis, because shtei shanim is a gvul. The boundary is separate from the thing itself. So the tchum of the city is 2,000 amos.
This is like it's a DMZ. This is like the in between time, right?
Yeah.
To see us Mitzrayim, though, there wasn't that goal. In other words, I think they made it all the way up to the 49th. I mean, almost to the 49th level of Tumah before they had to.
Right. Before it became irreversible over there. Yeah, so that's, again, what would be the conventional Vinayashantan, I think, understanding. Okay. So he says, so he goes on again, repeating again this idea that. That the Golus is a very, very unnatural situation for the Jewish people, that we should be in the wrong land, that we should be under the control of others, and therefore we should really, to some degree, end up back. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gzeira that there should be a Golus that maintains it. And with this, he launches into a discussion of the Shalosh Shvuos. The Gemara in the end of Maseches Ksubos has a significant discussion about Eretz Yisrael and living in Eretz Yisrael. There, where it speaks about the halachas, a man and woman are married, one of them wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, the right to insist. So the Gemara gets into this discussion, and the Gemara speaks about Rav Yehuda, who held that it was forbidden for a person to go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, because the pasuk says, Bavela yuvo v'shamayu, they should be brought to Bavel and there they shall remain. And the Gemara then moves into a discussion generally, does that limit an individual from going to Eretz Yisrael? Or is there more, it's a permitted for an individual to be going to Eretz Yisrael? That pasuk maybe was speaking about the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, that they would not be returned to Eretz Yisrael until the time that Hashem calls them back. But the Gemara goes on to bring the psukim in Shir HaShirim, which constitute the Shalosh Shvuos. There are three psukim in Shir HaShirim of Hishbati Eschem and Eretz Yerushalayim, Im Ta'iru V'im Ta'iru, if you will awake and if you will awaken, right? Stir others, the Ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adshe Techpots, until he is ready for it. And the Gemara says that there are three Shvuos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made regarding the Jewish people. Three oaths. The first oath was Shalayalu Yisrael B'chaima, or Kechaima, that the Jewish people would not go together en masse to go up there to Israel during the time of the Golos. Individuals want to go, Gesunter Heit, but to gather together and then go as a mass, not. The second one was Shalayimirdu B'Masailam, that they should not rebel against the nations of the world, that they are supposed to be subject to the nations of the world during the Golos, and they should continue to act the part. And the third one was that he was Mashbia, he gave an oath to the nations of the world, who are supposed to be our hosts slash masters, Shlishtabdu b'Yisrael, that they should not intensify too much the slavery, the bondage which they put upon the Jewish people. So in other words, these Shvuos were to maintain Golos. And you know, in the Maral's context, the idea is you need these Shvuos because Golos is so unnatural that the Jew would be pining to go, so you have to sort of hold it in place by a Shvuah, by an oath. Now these three Shvuos, this Gemara of the Shalosh Shvuos, was a very, very important Gemara and remains a very, very important Gemara in the conception of the return to Eretz Yisrael in modern times. Is it a violation of these Shalosh Shvuos, of these three oaths? So there are many ways to discuss and to debate. First, one can question, you know, is this Gemara in Haggadah, or is this Gemara Halachic Gemara? Right? But even if, of course, if you're going to take it and say if it's binding, these are the oaths of the Gemara, but it says, Atshetachbot, till Hashem wants it. How are you able to read the point in time when Hashem wants it? Some would say, well, look at the events of this time. The nations of the world invited the Jewish people into Eretz Israel, so maybe now it's the time when Hashem has chosen, when Hashem has wanted it. It may not have been an answer for the first Zionist Congress, which was in the 1890s, right, which was before even the first, before the Balfour Declaration, before any movement by the Goyim to give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, right? So maybe it would be a critique on them, but it wouldn't be a critique after the fact, once the nations granted it to the Jewish people. And whether it wouldn't be a critique because you would say, Achetechbot, Hashem has said he wants you now, you know, that this is the sign. You'd say, oh, one second, but there was no wings of eagles. There was no sound of a shofar. There wasn't in the second Beis HaMikdash either. In the second Beis HaMikdash, one day, what happened was that the king of Persia, right, Kairish, said, whoever wants to go from Eretz Yisrael should go up and build the Beis HaMikdash. So it was by invitation of the nations of the world. It wasn't by a dramatic, miraculous event. So maybe this is the same thing happening all over again. Or, alternatively, even if you don't want to say, okay, well, this is the messianic footsteps, even if one didn't want to say that, but one could say simply, what is the thing? The thing is, you're not supposed to, it's all part of rebelling against the nations of the world to go up like one. Right? If the nations of the world invite you, then you're not rebelling against the nations of the world. Right? At this point in time, it's okay. They're giving you the place. They're allowing you to have it. There's a famous letter from the Meshech Chachma who wrote this in the 30s. He said, now that the nations have given us permission to go to Eretz Yisrael, so now the Shalosh Shvuos aren't applicable anymore because they've said, you're welcome. Come. Gesunter Heit.
They seem to change their mind.
Well, yes and no. There's a bigger flaw than the fact that maybe they changed their mind, right? Certainly, you know, Russia was originally, you know, voting for the United Nations resolution, right, to have Eretz Yisrael in place due to a whole bunch of interesting things which came together, and they pretty much became then supporters of all the nations who wanted to wipe Eretz Yisrael off of the map. The United Nations became a different thing instead of being just every state, every little Dorfala has a vote, and it's completely out of whack as a result. So, you know, all kinds of things have changed since those early days. You can say, well, maybe the nations of the world changed their mind, or the way things happen. But there's a more fundamental problem with the Meshech Chachma, in my mind, which is, who gave them permission to go? The British, right? The Americans, you know, the Russians. Not the Arabs, not the Palestinians, not the people who live there. The people who were the technical owners. They said, okay, we're going to give this to Eretz Yisrael, to the Jews. It was, l'yimadu b'umais, if you're going to view it in terms of the nations who are the superpowers, who control your fate in the broader sense, sure, now they've given you permission. But if you're going to view it in terms of the practicality of coming into the land against objections, oh, there were plenty of very, very real objections, very, very much at home plate right there. So, you know, it was a chiddush. It was a chiddush that the Rav Meir Simcha said. But there was, you know, that was something else. Others said that after the Holocaust, it's not relevant. Why? Because you see, what was the third oath? The third oath was that the nations wouldn't make things impossible for the Jews. You can tell the Jews that they should stay in Golos and not try to cast off the bonds of Golos when Golos is livable. But when the nations, and therefore Hashem has to say to the nations of the world, look, I'm telling them to be with you, you better take care of them to some degree. But if the nations of the world go crazy and they make things impossible for us, and even the ones who don't make things impossible for us don't let us in to come to their place, and they don't welcome to host the Jewish people, then the Jewish people have no choice. Right? And therefore, if that Shvuah is off, then the other ones are off. So all of these are rationales to say that they're off. And then there was the Satmarov, who wrote a thesis, right, you know, called Vayel Moshe, right, which was about the relevance of the Sholei Shavuos, that they're still relevant, and there's no room, you know, this is what Chazal told us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Chal Yisrael that they're not supposed to go and cast us off. So it's a significant discussion, important discussion, and the aspects of it are discussions for another time. But let me just share with you, we don't have a chance to go through everything which Amaral has to say over here, but let me just share with you one aspect over here, which is a sort of a continuation of what the Amaral taught us very much at the beginning. You might remember, I think this was a favorite little piece that we had, that I think everybody appreciated and enjoyed, especially way back in the beginning of the Netzach Yisrael. When Hashem originally told the Golos to the Jewish people, so he said, "No, you shall know that you will be strangers in a foreign land." So the Medrash darshans, "Yodaya teida," you'll know the negative side, but "teida," you'll know also the positive side. And it does it in three tiers, three levels. The first level is "Yodaya shani memashkenon," you should know that I will give them over as collateral. "Teida shani parka," but then you'll know that I'll bring them back, I'll redeem them. Yodaya shani mishadam, you'll know that I will enslave them. Teida shani goelam, you'll know, however, as well, that I will redeem them from that slavery. Yodaya shani mafazran, you will know that I will scatter them. Teida shani machansan, and then you'll realize that I will bring them back together again. So, what was the idea? So the Maharal explained back there, this medrash is delineating the three elements of Golos. What are the three elements of Golos, as we said earlier today? One element is that we're not in our place. That's mamashkenon. Well, what's a mashkan? Right? I borrow from somebody $1,000 and I give them my nice watch as collateral. Right? So my watch now takes its place in their home. It's over there until I pay it back. It's going to stay by you until I pay it back. That's mamashkenon. Klal Yisrael was taken out of their place. And they'll be brought back to their place. Yodei Hashanim Meshabdom. Second aspect of Golos is that not only are we out of our place, but we are subordinated, subjugated, avodim, shivud malchios, we're subject to other kingdoms. So, you should know that I enslave them, and I will redeem them, I will take them out. That's the second aspect. Yodaya shani mefazron, the third aspect is that the Jewish people are scattered. We lose our national cohesion, and we're scattered. And the gula is to bring them back together. So the Medrash says these three elements, the three critical elements of Golos. Says the Maharal, those three elements are the three elements that are represented as well in the Sholei Shavuos, in the three oaths. How's that? The one was that he says, The first one was, it's not the first one listed in the Gemara, was that Hashem said that you should not rebel against the Umay Sa'ilam. Now, what does that mean? You might have said you don't want to reject being subordinate to them. But it's the idea is that the Mashkin is supposed to stay in the place of the person who has it. And when we are subject to the nations, we're supposed to stay with them. To rebel against them by leaving, that would be a rejection of that. So that's one element. The second Shavuah was about Shivut, about being subordinated to them. And that's a Shavuah where we turn to the nations of the world and we say, look, they're supposed to be subordinate to you. You have to make it work. You can't overdo it. And the third element was that the Jewish people shouldn't go up like a chaima, like a wall. What does it mean they shouldn't go up like a wall? It means they shouldn't go up as a group, as a mass. It's golus. As golus, you're supposed to be dispersed. You're supposed to be separate. You want to go up to Eretz Yisrael, a few of you, like the Gemara says elsewhere, like a door, right? In other words, which is a little bit, instead of like a wall, which is a broad expanse, fine. A little bit here, a little bit there. Don't try to alter the state of things in the golus, you know, in that direction. Those three elements, those three things. And to some degree, as we say, it requires a shvuah, it requires an oath. Because without an oath, it's not natural for us. We want to come together. We want to be insubordinate to other nations. We want to be independent. We want to be in our land. What keeps us has to be some sort of unnatural vice that grabs us and holds us and keeps us away from our togetherness, from our independence, and from our returning to our home. Okay. Mi'at Hashem, we will continue. We did not quite finish here, Perkov Dalit. We'll try to see if we can touch some more bases of it later. I just don't want to keep you too long, even though we started late today. The significance of the number?
Yeah. Like, what's the source of it? Like, what's it talking about? Because you added up from the time of Golas throughout